irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is a new week, Monday, April 4th, a new month, too, Kelsey.
I know. I can't believe it.
I know. It's actually the first time I'm seeing you this month.
Yeah. I know. It is. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't either. Yeah. But you weren't here on the 1st, and so we could pull a joke on you.
I know.
An April Fool joke.
I know. Missed out on that one.
Yeah, I know. So you feeling better today?
I am. I was really responsive to the antibiotics. So
good.
Yeah, much good. Better.
Do they make you feel like weird or anything? Do you even feel them at all?
Not really. No, I mean, a lot of people say they make them feel sluggish and everything because, you know, it gets rid of like all the good bacteria too.
Right. Exactly.
But feels I don't everything. Notice it much. But then again, I sleep like as much as I want, so so I don't know, maybe I just get to sleep enough.
Good. Well, so you get some rest and you're here.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely excited because we have two great guests in the studio. We'll get to them in just a moment. And I don't know, I'm just like in a great mood. Everything seems to be working.
I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the sun's shining. It's a warm, beautiful day outside. We have a lot of smiling people around us, so why not?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a great day.
So, and I get to talk in the morning on the radio in LA. What the hell, man?
I know, it could be a heck of a lot worse.
It could, right?
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you can make your own life. Just just do what you really want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I really want to do my 3D printing, but God damn it, it's not working out.
Did you get your new equipment in?
I'm getting some new equipment, yeah, tomorrow. So
okay,
we'll see.
Good.
If that doesn't work, I'm jumping out the window, Kelsey. I don't know what else I can do.
Don't do that.
Yeah. But no, all I'm saying is, you see, it's like things can be that difficult for you, but it's like, it just makes me even more resolved to do something about it, you know?
Yeah.
They have more resolve and say, nothing's going to stop me. I really, really want to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I've been about working in the entertainment industry, and it's been against all odds for me. I mean, my entire family is like, come home. What are you doing out there? You know, but I've known since I was a little kid that I wanted to be in the industry.
Right.
But I just didn't have the means to do it because I was, you know, a minor.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I finally did get the chance, I pursued it, and I'm happy I'm doing it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're happy to have you back on the air.
Yeah.
I had Leah Pelka filling in for you on Friday. She was our guest on Thursday.
Yeah.
And this beauty from Alabama.
She is.
And we're really good friends now, you know? I mean, really good friends, because she's taken.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you knew, but, oh, no, you weren't here. But the guest that came brought somebody with her. But he wasn't on the show. But then when we left, he was hitting on Leah like from the beginning.
Oh, my God.
Like nonstop.
But he knew?
I mean, I think so. Well, at least he should have found out early, don't you think?
When you
hit on a woman, shouldn't you know, first of all, if she's available? I mean, that's a courtesy, I think. That's class. That's
that. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, maybe not the first question, but after a couple of questions, maybe.
Sure.
You know, because you don't want to step on anybody's foot, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that way. Other people may not.
But he persisted.
Yeah. So, so that kind of sucks. But what can I say? She seemed to enjoy herself riding back and everything. So I'm like, what do I know? Why am I being protective? The hell with it.
Yeah.
You know, let her handle her own shit.
That's true.
I'm sure she gets hit on all the time, you know?
Probably.
Yeah. So I don't need that, you know?
Yeah.
Don't need that in my life.
I'm sure she can let him down easy.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, it's not my battle. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to understand that. You know, I'm just like, when I'm a friend, I'm a real friend. You know, I'll have your back all the time.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah. It's very cool. So last night I went to Sheena Metal's birthday bash. Sheena Metal, you haven't met her yet, right?
No, I have. She was on our show.
She was on our show?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to meet her. So she had a birthday yesterday.
Oh, fun.
And we went to the Improv in Hollywood. And It was amazing. She had some great guests on, you know, some child actors, and she had Christine Devine, who does the news on Fox 11.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. So, and of course, the usual suspects that Sheena has.
Right, right, right.
And it's just amazing. It was a great show. She always fills the improv. I mean, that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could fill a place like that.
That's
but Sheena can.
A tall order.
It is. But Sheena can because, you know, I mean, because look, she gets as many guests as we do. The thing is, though, I realized about Sheena, she doesn't judge anybody. She'll, like, befriend everybody.
I love that. I'm like that,
right?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm not. I'm like, I don't know. This person doesn't look great. I'm not going to talk to them. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, it can be a curse. It can be a curse, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you're too trusting or too open or, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There are usually red flags if somebody has bad intentions.
Yeah, no, that's true. And especially you have to be careful because I'm sure with you, a lot of people have bad intentions, you know? It's just because you attract a lot of people, you know, and through beauty and sexiness and stuff. So I'm sure people are like, wow, you know, wow. I don't even want to say what people might be thinking. But at least they write to you, I love you in Arabic.
I know. Oh, I had a ball the other day. I was actually at happy hour with one of my girlfriends. And she was like, oh, let's translate all your Arabic comments. And I was like, great idea.
Yeah,
after
right?
A couple of glasses of wine, we're like, you know, having a ball. But they're really sweet, actually. But
really?
Yeah, they're just like, I love you. You're so beautiful. Marry me. A lot of them are marrying
right?
me. Yes.
They're, what is it with them wanting to marry, for crying out loud?
I don't know.
You know?
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. They don't even know you. They want to marry you. What is this? So it just goes to show you. I mean, when I
happened,
keep saying,
like in real person too, in real time.
Yeah, you know, I know.
And my mom thinks I'm going to be an old maid. I'm like, please, mom.
Yeah, right, mom. Anytime I'm ready, I've got five husbands.
I know, like, please. Okay, that sounded really like conceited. I didn't mean it like that.
No,
but
not at all.
I mean, she's
no,
like,
no, you know what you've got.
She's like,
you've
you're 26.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good God, mom.
Yeah.
I have like 15 good reproductive years ahead of me.
Exactly.
Maybe
let me
13,
live my life.
But, like,
yeah.
Chill.
Yeah. Or at least 6-7 years, you know?
Oh, come
if
on.
Nothing else.
Seven
you know?
Years.
Early 30s. Come on.
Right?
That's a good time.
That's actually when I see it happening for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's usually the best time, I think.
I see early 30s for me. I think that
because you have like a lot of energy, you know, you're ready, you're mature enough. So
right.
I think the early 30s are good.
Right.
That's when I
mean,
mine.
Listen to what Lee said the other day. Like,
yeah.
And I've actually come across this realization too. And you realize like what your mother said was right.
Yeah,
<you know>?
Right.
But yeah, she said, I mean, there are certain things that you realize have to kind of match up for a relationship to work, like
right.
core values, beliefs, all of those kind of things. And
right.
when you're young, you just jump right in. You're like, yeah, you don't even think
exactly.
about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, these guys want to marry you. I mean, they don't know you. But the point is that it just reinforces what I always say, that what happens to guys when they see a beautiful woman, it's just like they're like, they melt inside, you know? It's
yeah.
like they'll do anything. I mean, all reason goes out the window, I'm telling you. And that's why you see all these comments on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. I mean, people say like all kinds of shit, and I believe they mean it, all these guys, you know? They'll like do anything. It's just like thirsty wolves, you know? It's like,
oh my God, I know.
Like, give me something, you know? And but it's cool. I mean, you know, I envy you for being in that position because you can make a celebrity out of yourself, you know? And a lot of doors open for you, right? I mean, you never have to pay for a drink when you go out, for crying out loud, right?
No.
Okay. I was telling my friend yesterday, and this is the last thing I'm going to say before we bring in our guests, because I'm sitting here patiently, and probably an hour is not enough with them because they're amazing. But I was telling my friend yesterday that... what was I telling my friend yesterday? Kelsey, what did I just say before I said?
Oh my God. You
you know what? It'll come back to me and I'll tell you.
That's
okay?
Hilarious.
But what did I want to say to him? I don't know. Anyway, you know what? Forget it before I fully embarrass myself. So, all right. So here are our guests now. I'm. I'm welcoming to the show. Hold on just a second, because I want to open up the page. I don't know why I changed it, but no, something's happening. Okay. Sorry. It's not like I forgot your names, but I want to have the pages in front of me. It's like I'm digging myself deeper and deeper.
Okay.
Well, we have Rebecca Fearing, who is my favorite psychic in the whole world. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Get closer to the mic. Either lean in or pull it towards you.
Okay. But here we go.
There. I want to hear you close.
Okay.
And a good friend of Rebecca's and mine, and a host, actually, of two shows, mm-hmm. a host and a co-host of two shows, Jeff Flora. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
It's strange to see daylight.
Right.
We're the night crew.
Ah.
It's like there's sun. And
and you can see what's outside, right?
Yeah, it's like that's
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, we're having fun looking outside here.
But now you guys come in at 6:37, Jeff, at least you, so you can see outside, right?
Yeah, but I mean, because now because of the time
the
change,
days
but
are
it was
longer
dark,
now,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Kelsey, Rebecca, and Jeff have been with us for like a long time, right, guys?
Yes.
A long time, like what? 6 years, maybe 5-6 years.
I think it's even a little longer.
No, I think longer. We're past seven, I think.
Seven. So you were with us in Studio City?
Yes.
Okay, so 7 years, my God. You see, that's like a marriage, Kelsey.
I know. Right? Oh, my gosh.
Seven years. So we're like family, you know, and I love you guys. And mm-hmm. recently I started going out with them after Rebecca's show every Wednesday night, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know? We get together with Sheena, too, and so it's like a family, you know.
Sounds
and that's
like
what
it.
I always dreamed about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is cool. So, I'm happy to finally have you guys on the show, you know.
Right.
But before that, let's talk a little bit about your shows and what they're about. Jeff, you have a show called All About Guitar,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yes.
Okay.
We talk about the tuba on the show. No,
yeah, right. But you talk about anything with strings pretty much, right? I mean, if I brought in a bouzouki or something from Greece.
Well, we a lot of guitar players have to play other instruments, and though I did have a keyboardist on, I had Don Randy, who was part of the original Wrecking Crew. He was one of the guys that played on all the Beach Boys and the Monkees. And
Wow. So
but I had him, but we talked about studio work. Not everybody's a guitar player. I had a lawyer come on that managed Janis Joplin and Frank Zappa, but we talked about managers.
Oh, nice.
Like,
that's applicable.
When do you need a good manager?
Yeah.
And what do you look for in a good manager? So it's stuff
It's good because your listeners are musicians and they need mm-hmm. to know that stuff. So good. So you take it beyond just like the six strings on a piece of wood and we connect it to an amp and we play it. It's a lot more than that.
Yes, but I will nudge you. You should be playing your guitar.
I know.
He used to play rhythm guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he knows, you know, but I haven't played in a long time. I used to write songs. I used to sing. I used to do a lot of shit in music.
Gosh.
Yeah. I never pursued it, though, because my parents said, get a real job. Right, Rebecca?
Mm.
Do they all say this?
No, my mom didn't say that to me.
Really?
Oh, really?
My mom said the minute I was born, she had a feeling I was different.
Wow.
And so she really was pretty accommodating with whatever I wanted. I actually had started in the entertainment business, and that's a story in itself. And they fully supported me in doing that. But God had another plan. I mean, really, it is a pretty interesting story how I became a professional psychic. I've always been psychic, though.
Really?
So, oh, yeah.
From the time you were born?
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
It is. So how did you, Mom... I mean, what do you mean your mom realized there's something different about you?
She just said when she looked at me, first of all, she thought that I had looked like from the South. She said, every time I look at you, I thought you were like a Southern belle. Now,
mom is
Sicilian and from Ohio. I'm born in California, okay, and Croatian. There's no Southern connection on that side, at least.
But you know what? If you said you were, I wouldn't be surprised. She's right, in
right.
a way. You know?
And sometimes, weirdly, a Southern accent will come out of my mouth. And
oh, my gosh.
A big ghost story out of Tennessee, okay, which I was in Tennessee, and I started to have all these, like, a ghost appear to me and all these visions of the Battle of Franklin. which then I did investigate, and I had names and everything. I went into a museum, and they said, how do you know all the names? I said, I don't know. I really felt like I'd been in that battle, okay? Wow. So maybe she was right, you know, if you believe in past lives. But I did start at Universal Studios. I was young. I was 18, and I was starting to get discovered. There was Wasserman, and Jules Stein was still there. And then my grandmother and my mother helped support me to go to Lee Strasberg, his
acting coach.
Yeah, and then Anna Strasberg was really strange. She was like the second wife, and we got to go in there and even see Lee work. But she had said she heard about me. Now I'm not bragging, okay? Here, uh-huh. I was young. I was 18. I had a nice figure. She said, "I heard about you. You're the girl with the beautiful eyes. And how long before you want to be a movie star?" And I said, I have no idea. I'm just here, you know, for fun, really. She goes, you're in. And then what happened, God appeared to me and said to me, Rebecca, don't be a movie star. You're going to be washed up at 50. I'm like, oh, my God. God, that's horrible. I kept thinking of Baby Jane. Yeah, I don't know if you know that movie, that Baby Jane, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
Betty Davis, yes. Okay? And so I actually, you know, I worked a little bit again at the studios, but I actually quit anything to do with acting. Yeah. And it's a crazy story because I drove a forklift at Pepsi Cola, believe it or not. I did.
That's hilarious. Did you know that, oh my gosh.
Well, one little bit of trivia she told me, she babysat for Steven Stills' kids.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
No, the one, yeah. So I knew him, but I have been always weirdly intertwined with entertainment people. But when you are born and raised in California, that's inevitable.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. But I had done a lot of things, believe me. I have done anything from scrub toilets to drive a forklift, a nanny. I lived in Europe. And I had given up that opportunity in the entertainment business very young.
Yeah.
And then, this is a true story, random people would come up to me and they would say to me, and my mom was with me a couple times, hey lady, do you know that you're going to be a really well-known psychic and healer? And I would start laughing. I would like, oh my God, I would never do that. But I have always been psychic since the day I was born. If you knew me and you hung around with me, right. I have a lot of paranormal activity. So, but I was like, how do they know that? Like, I didn't even know how they knew me. And the last time it really happened, I was on Venice Boulevard. Venice Beach. Uh-huh. And this man named George, who was an older psychic. You know how the psychics will sit times?
Yes. On Venice, have you seen them, Kelsey?
No.
Those like pop psychics. They sit. You go on Venice Beach sometimes,
sure,
right?
Occasionally.
At the walk and stuff. They'll sit there with a little booth, right? And they say, here, I'm a psychic. And so that's just like, I don't know. What is that like? That's not real, right?
No, well, he was, you know, he was pretty good. So anyway, he comes up to me. And I have to tell this funny story. I'd seen him twice. The first time I was with my mom and I sat down and he goes, hey lady, oh my God, a man in a red robe walks with you and guides you and you're going to become a very famous psychic and healer. I want to get all these people around that I know on the beach here to come and shake your hand and meet you. So my mom's like, what is going on? I go,
I do not know.
So all these people came and gathered in this huge group and they were shaking my hand, pleasure to meet you. I was like, I'm freaking out. So I like, what is happening to me? So anyway, to make a long story short, I did become a psychic. My son, I was pregnant with my son. I told God, I don't want to do any other job. I want to be hands-on with him, right? I don't want a nanny. So I got offered to do the first psychic hotline. And I took the leap of faith. I was 9 months pregnant. I had no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
No idea how to become a professional psychic. But I went in there. I was so nauseated. Again, my mom drove me. And I just said, I'm going to say whatever I see with this guy. He goes, oh, my God, lady, you are so psychic. You are totally hired.
Wow.
Now, the hitch was, here I'm 9 months pregnant. I see these psychics over here. And I go, what is those lines over there? What is that over there? Oh my God, it was sex lines. So I was in a room with psychics and sex
lines in the same place.
Whoa. In the same room.
Right, it's like those 900 numbers. Right?
Oh my God.
So I was like, oh my God, I'm not working here until after I have this baby, which was in a couple of weeks, because I don't want him to be like a psychic pervert, okay? Because I was like, you know what I mean? I was like, and that's a funny story about that place because the lines crossed a couple times, and that was interesting. But I got really, really good. And then I went back to this psychic, again. And he said now, and it was so funny because he picked up on the psychic lines and the sex lines. And then, but this is where I knew he was like really real, because I had become what he said, or I was becoming that. But when my girlfriend sat down, and I always turned a blind eye to her little white lies.
Sure.
We're there, and all he goes, he sits down, he says, "My, oh my, you like to lie a lot." Not to me, to my friend. I was like, oh my God, I wanted to laugh so hard.
That's hilarious.
But, and then he said about me being a psychic, and it's all been word of mouth. Everything's been offered to me. And God said, when you're 50, I'll put you back in the media. And when I was 50, I got a huge radio break. It was before I was with you.
Yes.
It was in Arizona with the John Jane Rich Show. And that propelled me into a lot of entertainment opportunities.
Right.
And then...
And that was before social media, right?
Yeah, it wasn't... Yeah, a lot of wasn't going on. And then Jeff here, and I met Jeff and Renee. Uh-huh. Renee had come to me as a client. Her daughter had passed away, and I was able to connect to her daughter really well. Then on and off, we became kind of like friends. So Jeff and Renee then said, "Hey, Rebecca, why don't you do a podcast?" I don't know if it was Renee or you.
Yeah, it was before we had known about you, we were on another station.
Another station. So now, Jeff, when was that you guys met? How did you...
Well, she came on the show. We had originally done... Renee and I had done the show, the Night Vision, which was here for a while.
Okay.
But it was over on CRN Cable. It was on Cable.
Right.
And we had Rebecca on as a guest. That's how
I see it. That's how you met.
Right. And then they said something about podcasts, and I seriously had a vision that it was going to be popular, because it was before it was popular.
Really?
And I said to them, okay, I'm going to do this, but it'll become popular. But I said to them, I seriously don't like when somebody tries to tell me like how to do what I do, because it's unique in itself. Mm-hmm. And you really can't. You can tell me where to sit. You can tell me what situation, like what we're going to be in a round table or this or that. I do well with that. So they agreed to let me do what I wanted to do, and Sam was accommodating. So we went in there, and I know that Renee and Jeff had little kind of reservations of how I work.
Right.
They're like
what, Jeff?
Renee was old school radio. She had worked in broadcast radio. So, like, for example, there's a couple – you have to understand, when Rebecca's there, if you saw her work on the show, a lot of times she'll close her eyes and she's listening. And people on the other side, they're just bombarding. They're just going nuts. She gets all these different people. And like, a lot of times on our show, she'll get somebody talking to her, and it's not for the caller. It's for, like, the next caller. That happens a lot.
Yeah, that happens.
We've had people. Really? We've had when we were at the old station, she was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, like, it sounded like a radio popped in, and this lady kept saying, Ann, you could hear it on the air.
Yeah, it came through the radio.
And, oh my God.
And it was for the next caller.
That
for the next
so
caller.
Freaky.
So so Renee is like, you know, the cardinal rule is you can't have dead air. Well, there's sometimes when Rebecca's quiet.
Yeah.
Well, she's quiet because she's listening to what's going on.
Exactly, yeah.
So you have to, those are the kind of things. So it's like, you know, you have to, and things change. Like, all of a sudden, now we've had issues with people on the other side. They're getting better with electronics on the other side.
God. Really? Well.
So I've had, like, you know, that show, we get a lot of calls.
What?
At 7 o'clock, they just cold call, and you'll just see a list of phone
numbers. I mean, everything pops up on the screen. Everything lights up like crazy.
That's so cool.
And for 2 hours, she sits there and answers phone calls.
But sometimes, some of those guys on the other side are trying to get through, all of a sudden, all the calls stop. She's talking and she's finishing up with the next person, and I have this list of people, and they just disappear.
Wow.
And I'm like, nothing. And I'm like, so Rebecca, that last call, so what did you think about, you know, we have to kind of improvise because it changes all the time.
Wow. And folks, we're talking about Dancing with Ghosts. That's a show that Rebecca and Jeff are doing together, and you can listen to that every week Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on LA Talk Radio on Channel 2. And don't miss it. And if you want to call in, Rebecca is going to talk to you on the air. Good luck getting through. But what's the best, Jeff, you're the one who handles the calls. What's the best strategy for someone who wants to get through to Rebecca and actually talk to her?
Usually Rebecca we'll talk about a topic or something at the beginning. So the first 15, 20 minutes, don't call. But what you have to do is just be persistent. What happens is you'll call and then it'll drop because and just redial. And
right.
Just,
keep trying, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know.
Because you can only take so many people.
Well, I had a client that she called in on my, not the last show, but the show before. And then I had gone to their home to do a small birthday party for this particular family. Now, on the air, I didn't know who she was at first, but I had a vision of her sister and her sister that passed away. And I was like, oh, I know who you are. You're Arroyo's family. So I ended up going to do this party for them because I know them for a long time. And she told me, Rebecca, I had three phones. I was determined to get in. I had my son's phone, my phone, and she did get in, okay? She was very successful.
Whoa.
And, well, because when I started out, and like Sam knows, I really started out for fun. I did it for sheer fun.
But do you see like visions or how does it
work?
Yeah,
I'm a visionary. Well, I work in many different ways. I'm not just a medium. I'm a clairvoyant, clairaudient, and I'm also a visionary and a medium. So things have appeared to me as solid as this water bottle. Mm. And then I'm I see like a movie screen in front of my face and I will be able to like do remote viewing.
Oh,
and
wow.
So the book I have coming out called How to Develop the Power of Intuition shows you a four-step process and how to do what I do. Now, everybody has some psychic ability, but I have a lot of paranormal activity. That's where the things that appear to me can become solid. So I have some very interesting stories where I'll tell you an example, okay? I'm in my office. This is a true story. I really thought that I'd gone crazy now, okay?
I can't wait to hear this.
And I see this big Muppet. I see Kermit the Frog. I go, I'm now seriously mentally ill. I'm like, but that puppet is like really big, okay? I'm like, are those puppets really that big? So I'm like, I really was questioning my sanity. So anyway, 2 days later, which I can't say who it is, somebody from connected to the Henson Group came in 2 days later. And it's a very detailed story, but Mr. Henson had already passed away, so he was getting his messages in.
Wow, through Kermit.
Kermit the Frog, the big Muppet. And they validated that those Muppets are big.
Wow.
So it was very interesting. So I go, oh, thank God I'm not crazy. Oh, thank God I'm not crazy. But things will happen. Like, for example, Marilyn Monroe, I'm doing a party on Sunset Towers, I think, in, off of Sunset Boulevard, right? It has a lot of history to it. I was doing a party for Sherry Hackett, but it wasn't anything Buddy Hackett's widow now, and she was hosting a party for this gentleman. This gentleman had nothing to do with the entertainment business. He was the last one to sit at my table. I'm sitting there. I'm talking about his father that's deceased, really accurate. I feel somebody on the back of my neck, like somebody staring at me. I'm like, what the heck? And it was kind of late, like 11 o'clock at night. I turn around, and guess who's standing there?
Tell me.
Marilyn Monroe. Whoa.
No way.
Black Chanel suit. Whoa. She's a little, you know, she didn't like women that much. But anyway, I go, okay. And I know, now I know, I just better just take advantage of whatever these people want to say. Because who knows if she'll be coming to talk to me again, right? So, but I know enough to not be afraid, okay? But I said to this guy, but I did say, you're probably going to think I'm a little crazy, but that's okay because, you know, we have Marilyn Monroe right behind us. What do you have to do with Marilyn Monroe? Because when Elvis appears or Marilyn Monroe or Jim Morrison, they always have a connection to the person that I'm going to be talking to.
Right.
Or will get that person to me. He goes, okay, you're freaking me out, Rebecca, because in 2 days, I am meeting with her old publicist, Michael.
Oh.
And Marilyn says, Rebecca, you get me to Michael. I'm like, how am I supposed to do this now? This is like getting crazy, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? 2 years later, at Sherry Hackett's house, which was like, I think it was last year, guess who I met?
Michael.
Wow.
And he validated. She had a cat named Tinkerbell. She says, ask about Ray. That was her masseuse. And all this stuff that she's been telling me, because she's been connecting to me for a little bit now. So, but he was absolutely able to tell me everything she told me was correct. He was very young when he worked with her. He wrote a book about it. Now, he and I differ on one thing. I believe Marilyn Monroe was murdered. Mm-hmm. He does not.
Oh, okay.
But she is at me to look at all these clues, which I won't say on the air.
Okay.
But it's very interesting.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, do you sometimes get utilized by law enforcement? I mean, do they ever come to you? Because I've heard, have you heard that law enforcement will go to psychics when they've
like
tried everything?
Or yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've tried everything. Then they'll go, well, what have we got to lose, right?
Right.
So we'll go with a psychic.
Well, a client, I had a dream. And I just get information from a dream. This is a very sad story, but this person who was all burned in my dream looked at me and said, "Hello, Rebecca." I'm like, whoa. But in that dream, it showed me every detail of the murder. So I didn't know who he was because he was burned. What happened is it was a friend of my nephew's who I knew the mother, found out what happened. She came to me, and she brought the police to my office. I had a little snafu in that. Was one of the police officers was a very staunch Christian fundamentalist, which is fine, but he had a kind of a hard time with me being a psychic. Mm. Well, I heard that 4 months into it, they wished they would have listened to me because I was accurate. I said, "Mr. Tattoo," it was a murder over a tattoo kit.
What?
So I was able to help them with all the players in that murder. And this is how so weird is. I was working with some law enforcement, and but on a personal level, right? And they were the people that found his body.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, and I did have, recently I found a woman. They called me, and they were working with the police, and I was able to tell them a lot of detail of where she was. And I said, "She's sitting by a tree. She had fallen." Mm. And so, and anyway, they found her.
Wow.
She died from falling?
Nope. So, at the nick of time, they found her where I said she was.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
No.
So Jeff, let me ask you this. Were you ever, I mean, since you met Rebecca, were you ever, like at least in the beginning, skeptical in what she can do?
Well, when Renee introduced me to Rebecca, I made an appointment to see her. Yeah. And I had friends, a friend of mine that visits, she's passed away now. She visits Rebecca all the time, my friend Roseanne, who actually helped the police, talking about using police, helped find the Hillside Strangler.
Oh, my
really?
Gosh.
She did. So, but anyway.
Oh.
So I went to Rebecca, and I knew, based, you know, I was going to test it out, see what, you know, what happened. And I cleared my head, didn't want to think about anything, wasn't really focused on anything, and she said to me, she goes, there's this girl here. She wants you to talk to her brother. And I'm like, okay. And she started describing this woman. And it was my friend's sister that had died. Now, the thing was, I hadn't really thought about it since I had seen, you know, but since she had died. This had been years ago.
Right.
So I wasn't thinking about her. So it wasn't like she was picking up my thoughts.
Right.
And she described her, gave me the name, and as it turned out later, as everything, there are no coincidences, she knew the brother. She knew the brother,
but I didn't know that he, like, I didn't know it was that he knew him, too.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, but it was, so we're like, he's like, "Oh, I know Rebecca." So I had already spoke to him, right?
Right. Well, you had, he had come to see you.
He already.
Stuff. His daughter was real sensitive, and she started hearing voices, and it was freaking her out. So Rebecca was helping her how to filter to tune it out so you don't go nuts.
Right.
So let me ask you this, because what I'm envisioning now is, like, let's say, like, all the souls and everything, right? And they're looking, like, to connect with this world, and they find conduits, right? Like you.
Right.
It's like you sort of like a pipe from there, from above to here,
well,
right?
Well, I'm putting out a signal, like I think all psychics do, and then the person will find you who they know that you'll either resonate with them or you will be able to find their family. Because in my case, I cannot call, like, you know, Priscilla Presley. Oh, Elvis is in my office. She's going to be a total nutcase. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, right, lady. Okay, so, but in many cases, like Marilyn, will give me the not only the clues, but then the people that she wants me to talk to if they're still alive. So so I am. I think that's what happens. They follow your light. But I call myself, I'm an operator to 2 different or 3 different or 4 different dimensions. In the future, and I've already received phone calls from heaven, there will be a device like a telephone or a computer, because people don't tell stories about getting phone calls from heaven, which is very common now.
What?
And text messages. Yeah, I see them in my office.
She gets, I've heard them.
Yeah.
Okay. She gets phone calls from the other
so
side.
So they're going to, I'm going to be the one who creates
you
this.
You're spooking
right?
her completely.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't cost anymore. I mean, she's the same plan.
Ryzen has a good satellite.
No data, right?
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, there will be something that we will, I will be antiquated. I won't, it won't be like this anymore, because we'll be, technology will be so that we can.
So everybody can.
Because there is no death. It really is an illusion. And we're like a kaleidoscope. The universe is like a big kaleidoscope. And that the dimensions, there are two portals, which is a whole nother story sometime that I'll tell you. One is on Ventura Boulevard and one is in Woodland Hills, that directly connect to a dual dimension. And I know that for a fact. It is what Stephen Hawking talks about at Einstein. I know it's real.
Yeah. Oh, my
fact,
gosh.
Not theory.
Yeah. Well, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Jeff Floro and Rebecca Fearing, who, even if you're sitting here and you think, this is bullshit, you know, listen, if Rebecca is... If this is bullshit, Rebecca's the best bullshittist there is.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And you know what? I'm the biggest skeptic and everything. But when Rebecca starts talking, you go, you know, you can't make this up.
I know.
You can't make this up, you know. And that's why I'm saying, you know, at least you guys should give Rebecca a try. Jeff handles the back, all the back office very well, and he helps with the phones and everything. And God knows you need that on the show with so many calls. And Rebecca,
that's so cool.
You help her perform at her best, I think, and that's amazing. You
know? Well, because he gives me the opportunity to be me.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Then we joke around. It's not always all serious. We joke around. We are serious.
She tries to make me blush all the time.
Yeah, right? And she does a good job of it. Yeah. It's easy to make Jeff embarrassed.
Yeah. We get a little
He's
sexy.
Kind of a shy person. Yeah. That's funny. So you guys were at the show last night, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I saw you, but you said Rebecca was coming, but I didn't see her until she told me this morning that she was there.
We were on the back
end. Chyna's party.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing, Sam, you don't know, I don't think you know this, but I've just been asked to do comedy around the United States because I do some psychic comedy.
Oh, really? Fun.
And it's a little sexy and a little risque. So it's, you know, I think it's kind of for the over 18 crowd in a little ways, but I might do it. I'm not sure. Sheena is also.
You know what? It would succeed because Rebecca's the last person you'd expect would do something sexy. You know, I'll tell you why. Because Rebecca's like, she seems so conservative. Uh-huh. And, you know, like that Southern Belle. I mean, I don't know. I get that vibe from her.
Totally.
Hey, but we get pretty sexy, huh?
Yeah. She's good. She's wild in her own way.
Yeah,
and I just have to throw this out, a little bit of gossip about Rebecca. There's guys on the other side. They're always hitting on her.
tell.
Anyway, it's a fact.
No, you know, I have such a strange life that people will probably think that, oh, yeah, right, lady. But anywhere I go haunted, the people will follow me back, including King Henry VIII. Okay?
What?
No, this is a true story. And let me tell you
something. Where did you go where he was haunting?
In London.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. And where he cut Anne Boleyn's head off, you know, I'd been there. And so I'll just say real quickly. So anyway, he follows me home in a very strange way because I had a dragon naturally speaking because I got a lot of phone calls from a show I was on in Arizona. So I thought, I cannot type. God kept typing away from me, okay? So I thought, I'll go and speak it. You know how you do that? No. I get hot, and this is a true story because I have all the audio taped. I'm talking to somebody like, hi, thank you so much for being my fan and blah, 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 blah. And I get, hey, this is Ronnie Reagan. Tell my wife to get her money, boys, and this is true, to help nature, because everything's nature. I'm like, what the heck?
Wow.
Okay, then I get King Henry VIII. I'm like, Henry VIII, and he's like,
are you serious?
No, this is a true story. It's been filmed part of it. Okay, I'm like, oh, my God, I've got King Henry VIII on the line. So it's really strange, because it was like I'm really chatting with these people, okay? So then he's talking to me, and I go, so why'd you cut your women's heads off? You know, why? Why do you do that?
Yeah, that's a perplexing question.
Guess what he said?
Yeah.
What?
Because the system was flawed. He blamed it on the system.
Oh, of course.
Which part of it would be. But as we hear about King Henry VIII, he's a big flirt. Now, every time I look at him, I go, no. Ew. Okay, sorry, Henry. But in real life... Oh, my God. He
really?
Was flirting up a storm.
Well, it's not the way you look, you know. It's how you talk. And maybe he had a good
No, he did. He was flirting. He was a musician. If you look past all the funky stuff that happened after he became king. And so finally I said, okay, I got to go because this thing really sucks the life out of you. So I'm like, I was feeling like I got to get off this. So all of a sudden I go, okay, but just don't chop my head off. And he goes, and then he answers something. And then all of a sudden he goes, go get your beauty sleep, winky winky. Yeah! And I put a winky winky thing on there. That is a true story.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and another one I have.
So, no, yeah. You know, it's like, how can you not believe this? Because I can't imagine, I mean, you're not really a student of history or anything, right? So, I mean, to suddenly come up with all these details about somebody out of the blue, like Henry VIII, for crying out loud, you know, Ronald Reagan or something. Wow, you know, I mean, it's like you can't deny that it's not true, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, or you can't prove that it's not true.
No.
So you kind of have to go along and say, you know what, as bizarre as it sounds, like what does Sherlock Holmes, right? He says if you eliminate all the probable, then all that's left is the possible. Even if it sounds like it's impossible, right? Mm. Something like that. I just ruined the whole friggin' thing.
That we get said. The gist, though. We
yeah, get the gist. I need to find this. But the point is that... oh, no.
Oh, God. Well, my slogan
I totally slaughtered this friggin' thing. Okay, all I'm asking, go online... Okay, look for something about the truth with Sherlock Holmes. Okay, and it's a good one. No, but it says if you eliminate all the possibilities, then whatever is left, however improbable, is the truth.
Well, I have I have no choice because it's eyewitness. I usually have somebody with me, an eyewitness. So I say the possibilities of the impossible because that is my life.
Yeah,
multidimensional phone calls, chit-chatting on the computer with King Henry VIII. Okay, that sounds crazy, but I've had somebody film it and witnesses. So for me, I'm out of the box. And my mom said when you were born, I knew that you were out of the box.
Right.
Wow. So she never hindered me at all.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I think is why I, plus all the paranormal activity, you'd have to have a resilient personality and a good sense of humor to live my life.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? Oh, my God. I'd be so freaked out.
But, Rebecca, you've told me several times, and, I'm sure Jeff also knows probably more than I do because you've known her much longer as a friend and so forth. You've been through a lot in your life, right? I mean, I don't want to bring the show down. We have 5 minutes. We'll bring it right back up. But I want to ask you something, okay? Because I think this is going to help a lot of people. You lost your daughter.
Yes, I did.
How long ago was that?
5.5 years ago.
Five and a half years. My question to you is, how do you overcome something like that? Or not overcome, I don't think you can overcome.
Manage,
huh?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, what happened to me, I had a premonition about my daughter before I had her. Mm. And unfortunately, this is a really sad story, really horrible. On the day she passed, I said, Sarah, I dreamt you died. And I said, don't you do anything stupid.
Really?
Yes, and I had to do a show with Dr. Drew Pinsky on Loveline, and my motto was always not to be unavailable for my children on Halloween. I went against that, and I was freaking out. I really didn't want to do the show, but I'd already committed.
Right.
So I was in contact with my daughter the whole entire night. Make a long story short, she talked me into something. At 1:30 in the morning, she was dropped at somebody else's house, and I was going, I'm coming, Sarah. She talked me into staying there because the mother was there, a 14-year-old sister. And the week before, I told my son about an accident in detail. I said, don't you dare go on the 5 freeway. I'm taking the girlfriend home. You're going to get hit by a drunk driver. Mm. Now, a set of circumstances in that derailed me also, and he got into the accident.
Oh.
Okay. What?
Yes. That was 1 week before.
Wow.
And he got hit where I said and how he did. Now, this is where I'm like, something was trying to get me down or something, I felt like something bad was like, it was just a horrible, horrible week.
Yeah.
So I'm running to the hospital and I find out that the paramedics were going to just drop, they dropped him off in front. They're supposed to, by law, get him into emergency room. So I run to Holy Cross because he had medical insurance. They were going to take him somewhere else. And I'm screaming on the phone because he called me. And, they're all banged up. I run into Holy Cross and I scream, "Oh, my God, my son has internal injuries. Why is he here in the waiting room?" They got him in there. He had an internal injury. So I'm with him. Then I, she's 17, she's a teenager, so I'm trying to save his life and save hers, and I lost her.
Where was she?
She was at a house that I knew the person, and at 1:30 in the morning.
She was staying at a friend's house, basically.
The mother was there. I heard them cooking. I was like, he just got an accident. I just like, what is the best part? So I made the fatal mistake. She was 17 and a half. I let her stay. Which then they got into some stuff that they shouldn't have. The mother knew. She was present.
Drugs?
Yes. And my daughter could have been saved. They went out and smoked cigarettes and let her die.
Wow. And this is like what, serious drugs?
It was a mixture of some stupid stuff. But she was. They knew she was overdosing or whatever was going on. And nobody
did anything. No. Wow. My God.
So now you think how bad I feel. Here I'm a professional psychic. I've saved many lives. And I don't save my daughters.
Right. Okay. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Uh-huh. I think it just goes to show that no matter what you do, you're not going to change destiny.
Well, see, I worried about that girl since the day she was born. But I also tell you, do you really know what saved me? Was divine intervention. Really? 3 days after she passed, my daughter was on the phone, and she's very stubborn and she's very persistent. In front of the barbecue bear pit on Sepulveda Boulevard, my daughter called me. Now, I missed the call, so she left a message. And she overrode a call from Arizona. It was very strange. And she said, she was whimpering a little bit, and we have the CD, we saved it. It's Sarah. Okay, so now I'm like, oh my God, my daughter's alive. She's somewhere alive. She's alive, okay? So from that, I have 504 messages for my daughter. That's why I know that it's real. Heaven is real. And Sarah was made to go to school, okay? And she's like, they're making me to go to school. I go, well, that's what you're supposed to be doing, Sarah. So, okay. Now, as crazy as it sounds, Jeff is a witness to this.
I've heard it.
I was doing this show when my daughter passed, and God has appeared to me. It's real, okay? And I was told, I was a victim of, like, you know when people in war scream and you just can't stop? I had that problem. Wow. I couldn't stop screaming.
Like
I
was PTSD so, type thing.
I was totally traumatized. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Now, Rebecca, look, we're totally out of time. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give you a chance. We have two. Actually, we can extend it, but like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I just want to summarize everything. Mm-hmm. But I want also say, I think this is an uplifting note, if nothing else. I thought it was going to be a downer, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was hoping, because Rebecca will give people hope. Right, Jeff?
Right.
I mean, you see it all the time.
Well, her daughter, too, said there's pizza on the other side.
Really?
I wanted to mention that.
I'm looking forward to that. Rebecca and Jeff, Rebecca Fearing, everybody, if you want to get a hold of her, how can they, Rebecca, for readings, things like that, right?
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes, right now, I tell you, you have to be a little patient because I have so many people calling. I'm one-man show for now. But this is the office number, 818-368-4487. Where I say Rebecca Fearing, 58@gmail.com, but I don't want to make it so complicated. I'll give you one more phone number, 818-923-4443. You can text me on there. But please be patient. Right now, the phones are blocked. I'm going to leave the studio here and get everything cleared up because they get filled so quickly.
Yes, and but Rebecca will try to get everybody that she can, and just stay tuned. But a fascinating story, Rebecca. We love having you here, and you're welcome. I mean, obviously, we didn't cover anything, really.
Well,
right, Jeff? We barely, like, scratched the surface, right, Kelsey?
Yeah.
And
so. Kelsey, so like,
we covered something, but I can't remember what it was.
No, he's teasing me because I couldn't remember what the hell I wanted to say.
Well, I'm a psychic. I'll tell you after the show what you were trying to say.
Okay, cool. Jeff Floro, tell us where people can find you.
I'm here every Monday. In fact, tonight I have Jim Kimo West. He's known as the guitar player for Weird Al, but he's one of the best Hawaiian slack key guitars, with some of the most beautiful music you'll ever hear. He's going to be on tonight. And I'm here every Monday from 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 Eastern. on All About Guitar.
Sounds good. And it's hard to say goodbye, guys, but we'll have him back on, folks. And
well, I'll be back later. I'll be back when it's dark.
No, but I mean on my show, on this show. Okay, we want you back. And everybody, I mean, fascinating show.
It is so fascinating.
And Kelsey started off skeptical, and now look, she's totally sold. She's like, Rebecca, give me a reading.
Yeah, now, I know.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
I'll give her a little tidbit. But, you know, the one thing I want to say to the listeners, yes, I have definitely walked through hell. Okay?
Yes.
But because I was divinely given the gift, physical gift, to see that my daughter's alive and well, 100%, there is no death, and there are other dimensions. Whether you call it heaven or not, I will guarantee you that it does exist. I am an eyewitness to it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.